There was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Be seated. Just what is going on in this scene from John's Gospel? Why are all these invalids gathered around a pool? Well, imagine, if you will, a large swimming pool-sized rectangular stone pool. It's paved in stone and surrounded in stone. It's very urban. It's in the middle of the city. And there are five gazebos, you might call them, scattered around the edges. The pool is fed by underground springs. Now, the notion of being healed by springs of water is very ancient and very widespread. It goes all the way across the world. I think of the southwest of England and Wells, where I went to school, Wells Cathedral. The city got its name, Wells, from the springs that rise up through the limestone. And in fact, Bath, which is just 20 miles away, has more famous springs, and people have gone there for hundreds of years to take the waters, so to speak, because of the calcium deposits. Here in the United States, you might think of our own beloved camp and conference center, Shrinemont, up in the Blue Ridge, where there are springs that rise up with iron-rich water. And the hotel that we go to for our parish weekend was built so that the well-to-do could go up to the mountains and take the waters. They might swim in them, they might drink some of them. So often it was the properties of the water, the different chemical properties that led to this belief that the water in a particular place was health-giving. Now Bethzatha, this place in Jerusalem, derived its healing powers from the way that the spring would bubble up intermittently and unpredictably from time to time. Early in the history of the New Testament being developed, about two centuries after Jesus died, somebody wrote in an extra verse to John's Gospel. You might notice when you read your Bible that it goes from verse 3 to verse 5 in this chapter. I think the Bibles in the pews have it that way. Verse 4 was put in by some scribe or some bishop or somebody who decided that an explanation was called for. And the extra verse said that an angel would come and bathe in the pool, and this would stir up the water. You couldn't see the angel. All you could see was the stirred up water. And this was why people wanted to get in the pool, because they saw this bubbling, and they thought an angel was in there, and naturally they thought, if I can go swimming with an angel, it's probably going to be health-giving and will cure what ails me. And so people wanted to get in the water with the angel. Well, more recent scholars, looking at the oldest manuscripts and the best manuscripts of John's Gospel, have determined that that verse wasn't in the original, as far as we know what the original of the Bible is. And so it's been removed from more recent versions of the Bible. But if you grew up with the King James Bible, you might well remember something about an angel in the water in the story, because it's in the King James Version. So here's the situation. You've got crowds of people on stretchers, in chairs, with crutches, babes in their parents' arms, blind people with their white sticks, And they're all standing around or sitting around or lying around day after day waiting for the water to start bubbling up. They don't know when that's going to happen. And when it does bubble up, there's this surge of people crowding in, crawling and stumbling and elbowing each other out of the way and doing everything they can to get into that water before it stops bubbling. It's quite a mob scene. No wonder this poor man on the stretcher couldn't ever seem to make his way to the front of this frenzy. This man, we're told, was sick or lame for 38 years. He had watched his whole life pass by as one opportunity after another for healing had slipped by him. Perhaps he'd grown resigned, more or less, to the fact that he would never get to the front of the line and into the water. Perhaps some resentment had built up in him about the situation. But he had nothing else to do with his time. He couldn't work. And so he might as well spend his days with the crowd of other invalids waiting for his chance. But here's Jesus, visiting from the country, come into the city for one of those great religious festivals where all observant Jews were supposed to come and gather at the holy city. And Jesus sees this man in the crowd. I wonder if Bethzatha was a tourist destination in Jerusalem. It was one of those places that you went just to see all the people with their different ailments. Anyway, perhaps Jesus knew the man. Maybe he came from Nazareth originally. Or perhaps the man was just holding a sign like we see when we stop at the lights and somebody's looking for a handout and a sign saying, "Sick for 38 years, please help me into the water." We don't know. But Jesus knew that this man had been sick for 38 years. And he asked him this question. Do you want to become well? Now, it's phrased rather curiously. It doesn't use the word that we see in other Gospels that means healed or saved or cured. It says, do you want to become well? The man doesn't answer Jesus directly. He doesn't say yes or no. He responds with a complaint. Nobody will help him get into the water. He doesn't realize who's speaking to him. He doesn't get the significance of this question. Perhaps he just lacks imagination. And this is the moment where we can connect with that ancient story, because Jesus asks the same question of each of us. Do you want to become well? How shall we answer? Can we imagine being really well, experiencing shalom, the peace of God that passes all understanding? Can we imagine that amount of wellness and wholeness? Or are we limited by our imaginations, only seeing perhaps the obstacles, the difficult circumstances of our lives, or the broken relationships, all the things that get in the way of our wholeness? God is so much bigger than we are. God offers us a multitude of blessings, of opportunities for wholeness, and we stumble over our own nearsightedness. We just can't see the gift. When God invites us into partnership in ministry to heal the world, the creation, to be reconciled to all things, what is our response? Well, sometimes it's too big a job for me, or I don't have the gifts, or I have responsibilities and obligations and debts to pay, or we can't afford it, or the church is too small, or nobody would show up if we tried, or I can't take that risk. I've even heard a version of this, of the response, when I've talked about our current project of downsizing from Great Falls to a smaller place in Reston. A lot of people have said, oh, I wish I could downsize. Why not? What gets in the way? Not that I'm setting myself up as a paragon by any means. The reason I could list all those excuses is that I know them well because I've used them myself. God's vision, God's dream for us is that we might be well, that our communities might be well, that our world might be well. It's a huge vision. It's a big, hairy, audacious dream, and it scares us because of our limitations. Our imaginations just aren't big enough to grasp what God in Christ is offering us. The man in our story heard Jesus' instruction, and even as he equivocated and hesitated, he obeyed the command to stand up and take his mat and walk. And he stood up, and he picked up the stretcher, and he was well. He walked. I would like to think that he walked after Jesus, that he followed him in the way. What would happen if we obeyed Jesus' call, in spite of all our fears and hesitations? What could it mean for our lives, or for the church, for our world? I think it would mean nothing less than transformation. So, do you want to become well? Do you want to become well? Yes, I hear a yes. 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 So what's getting in the way? There are no catches to this question. Do you want to become well? If the answer is yes, what's getting in the way? Is it other people, like it was for the man in the story? Is it your own capacity to imagine what that would be like? In the words of today's collect, let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you, that we, loving you in all things and above all things,